In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think we'll probably all agree, but if you don't, well, you send me an email. There's this piece inside of each of us that desires to be part of a bigger thing. You know, something greater than ourselves. And it plays out in many different ways in our society and the world around us. And many times it plays out in the way in which we engage with a sports team, especially if they're winning, amen? We got more Lightning fans in the last couple of years than the Lightning's ever had, I'm quite certain of that. But then it also plays out in other things, political and social movements. It plays out in trends, so, you know, sort of societal trends, and people want to be a part of it, and when they become a part of it, they talk about it a lot. And so we hear a lot about it. Anybody know a Lightning fan? Anybody heard anything about a Stanley Cup lately? It's okay to be a Lightning fan. I'm not cornering you on that. You know me. Sports are just a thing. But the thing about these bigger than us movements or things that go on is what we normally do and what we're used to doing is we pick something up to become part of it. We join by, I don't know, going and getting a jersey. Maybe we'll begin to voice our political or social agenda, social justice, I should say. I don't mean it by agenda, you know what I mean. If we get involved in these movements by sharing our opinion, hopefully in a loving way, in all the many ways in which we can share opinions these days. And we talk about it when we're with other people, and sometimes we have people among us that we don't agree with, and hopefully we have some healthy conversation about that. And sometimes we just get the right pair of shoes because everybody's wearing that pair of shoes. Now, as we get older, that's not near as important. But as Christians, we know there is one thing greater than us all, and that is God. That was a quiz. So there's one thing greater than us all, and that is
God.
Okay, amen. Otherwise, this makes no sense. So this idea of having everything around us adding something to our lives, so we add to gain. If we want to be a part of something, we add whatever a piece of that is to our lives. And then we become part of it. And as I was reading through what Paul had to say here today, I started thinking to myself this wonderful sort of catchy phrase, let go, let God. You heard that before? It probably makes a nice bumper sticker. Let go, let God. And I have to say for me, that sounds like I've done everything I can, I just give up. I've tried to fix it, I've tried to coordinate it, I've tried to get it together, and I can't get it together, so I'm just going to let go, let God. And I'm not sure exactly that's how it works. But it does start to point to something. And it talks about how are we prioritizing our faith in Jesus Christ? When something is going wrong in our lives, are we approaching God first? Or are we trying to fix everything and then finding out we can't and going, well, let go, let God? We tried to do things on our own. And I think the reason we struggle so much is we live in a world where if you want to join something and participate in something, you add something. And it makes it a little difficult. In fact, in this final Sunday of Lent, often, I have heard people in my own position that share my position say, well, it's Lent. If you can't give anything up, you should just add something. Anybody ever told you that? Just add something. It's kind of a fine line for me. I can see some value in that, but I'm not sure it gets the whole point across. So Paul, writing this letter to a church in Philippi, is trying to help his people move closer to Jesus, this understanding of Jesus. And he says, he gives a bit of his witness. He says, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, persecutor of the church as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And as we heard earlier, Paul kind of had it all. He was undoubtedly well respected. I think scripture might say he probably wasn't that good looking, but the reality is he had everything. Everything other people would have looked at Paul and went, Paul's got it all. He's knowledgeable. He's a leader within the faith community. He is a leader within the civil community. He has everything that he needs. He has the resume for society. And I mean, he really has it. And then something happens. Verse 7, chapter 3, he says, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. What? Now, I'm just imagining. Let's say he goes on, more than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. So this Paul, I mean, think about this. He appears to have it all. He is so zealous that this movement, these people of the way who are following this Jesus, who, by the way, has already been crucified and, to their perspective, died and been buried, he is so zealous to protect this law from as a Pharisee of Pharisees, he has gotten permission. He is actually going out and hunting these people down. He is violently opposed to this movement of Jesus. Now, I suspect he didn't go out alone. So imagine this. Here's this zealous leader. We're going to cleanse the world of these people who think that this Jesus was a Messiah. And who's going with me? And people are going, I'm going with you. And then they're out there doing the work, and all of a sudden Paul's like, I think I'm going to follow Jesus. People were probably coming to him going, Paul, do you not understand what you're giving up? Your status, your role, your position in life, you are going to give it all away to follow this movement of Jesus where their leader has been crucified, died, and was buried. This Jesus, this is what you're throwing your life away for? You have it all, brother, and you're giving it away. Now, you can just imagine, right? Somebody had to come up to him and say something. I can't imagine they were too pleased. Oh, especially, by the way, if they had followed him along this journey of hunting these people down and flushing them out. Now they're like, well, now what do we do? Yeah, we were following this guy, and now all of a sudden, he's on the other side. Do we persecute him? You can just imagine the confusion. And undoubtedly, Paul, who had all these connections, in an instant, watched them disappear. And all those things that the world perceived as gain, even himself at some point, he now counts to regard all of that as a loss. Because what matters more to him than anything is his relationship with Jesus Christ. One who he follows, whom he has never met bodily. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit does Paul know Jesus. And this is how he moves. And we continue to hear him moving in that way. And we have to wonder, what is this greater thing? And he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, I'm going to read that in pieces. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and we can all say, amen. We can? Do we want to know the power of Jesus and his resurrection?
Amen.
I mean, we want that, right? But it doesn't seem like it stops there. And the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. And we're all going, well, let go, let God. Maybe I don't want that. Maybe that's too much. I mean, I got the bumper sticker, I got the devotions, I bought a Bible, I go to Bible study, I go to church. I got it all. That suffering into the death of Christ, well, let go, let God. And then we come to the Episcopal Church, and we have Lent. Brothers and sisters, if we want to know Jesus in a deeper way, it's a little harder than getting a shirt. It's about this greater thing. It's about coming to know and understand the fullness of Jesus Christ and the grace that he's poured out on us through his very body and blood. It's about understanding that there are pieces of us that are not of God. There are things from this world that we have picked up. There are things this world has inflicted on us. And we are saying in this season of Lent, and by the way, this is just practice for every day of your life. There is an opportunity for us to let something go. And rather than let go, let God, and take our hands off and think, let's just see what happens because I've done everything I can, how about we let go to God and have that experience with the risen Lord? Such an experience that might bring us to an understanding like Paul has, that the rest of what this world offers I consider but loss as long as I can have this relationship with Jesus Christ. What if that's what it's really about, which I suspect it is? It's not about adding something on, brothers. It's about letting things go to God. It's about recognizing that in the depth of our souls, there are things in there that we have either picked up, been handed, or have been inflicted upon us. And the Lord wants those things to be washed away by his blood. This opportunity to look into the depth of our own soul with God, where we will see those things that bring us pain and sorrow and shame, and walking in it with Jesus, not on your own, but with Jesus, and trusting him enough to say, here it is, Lord, here's the worst of me. What will you do with it? And in that moment, discovering what he does with it is he cleanses it. He takes it from you, and he can replace it with himself so that we can continue to grow, to become more Christ-like, to allow that transformation of our lives to happen, to take the chance of not just saying, I've done everything I can, we've added everything we can. And believe me, if you got devotions, Bibles, Bible studies, you're attending worship, please do, by all means, continue to do that. But if you find yourself having done all those things and still saying, but what, there just seems like there should be something more. Brothers and sisters, I say to you, there is. There is something more. But I can't give it to you. You cannot buy it online. Amazon does not deliver it. If you want it, it's about letting go of whatever it is inside of you that is blocking you from being fully engaged in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that part of you that you hold so near to you, you think you're the only one who knows it's there, but I'm telling you, Jesus knows it's there. And we can convince ourselves in that moment and see it and go, well, I'll let go and let God, and he'll do what he wants with it. What he wants with it is for you to bring it to him. Let it go to him, to confess it to him, to amend your lives, to move differently from that moment, knowing that you are free of your pain, your shame, your sin, and your sorrow. It is that moment that we focus on all through Lent, so that when we make our way to Easter in a couple of weeks, we know, brothers and sisters, what it means to die with Christ so that we can rise with him. Amen? See, this is what the process of Lent is. And by the way, it's just a time to focus on how we can do that every single day of our lives so that we can become more like Jesus. But we'll never get there until he chooses to perfect us in his presence. And Paul knows that. As he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly, the call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on to become his witness, brothers and sisters. I could tell you some very gory details of my life. Hey, let's face it, after 4 years, I can tell you gory details of your life. But I won't tell you mine or yours. We just have to realize they're there, and then we bring it to Jesus, and Jesus says, you're healed. You're healed. Now, as you are probably already aware, I'm an extemporaneous preacher, which means, to some, I preach off the cuff. Not true. It takes me hours to stand up here and pull this off, and then I show up and God does what he wants anyway. So there's two things I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to turn you loose. Just like Paul, we all struggle. Just like Paul, we have the opportunity to see that our life is not enough, and we want more. Unlike the world we live in, where you can just join in something by buying into a piece of it, get your jersey, post your opinions, get the right shoes. And you're in. Christianity, brothers and sisters, comes with a lot of tools. But if you don't let go, the things in the depth of your soul to God, I don't care how many books you buy. I do not care how many services you attend. I don't care how well you know the Bible. If you do not know the power of having a Savior, you do not know Jesus. And I want you to know him. I'm a witness. This life is a witness to the power of God, which I won't give up for anything. Nothing. I stand before you a changed man almost every Sunday, even changed from the week before. I pray it never ends. I've had experiences in my life, some you know, some you don't. I'm going to share two. Not because I want to. One of them, one I do, one I'm going to share because the Lord won't leave me alone of it right now. I left a parish that had 30 AA meetings a week. Why does that matter? I've been in recovery over 20 years. What's God do with that? I got to be invited to speak at AA meetings from time to time. First time it happened, a group of people came to me afterward. And they said, oh my gosh, what an amazing story. What do we do about your anonymity? I said, I don't have any. No, we know who you are. And we know what you are. But what about your parishioners? I said, my parishioners know who I am and what I am. And then I spent a week sitting out back talking to people, and they wanted to know, how is it you don't need anonymity? And I said, because I have healing from Jesus Christ. You want to have the pain, the sorrow, and the shame removed from you? How do I know it works? I stand here now, renewed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. I know it's a lot about me. I only say this to you because we are called to be a witness to our Lord Jesus Christ. I stand here as a witness. And I'd love to tell you I do a great job every single time, but I don't. This morning, my brother Rick Barfield said, I left you a gift over in the office. Did you get it? I said, I have not. He goes, it's a gift. I want you to have it before you make your bicycle trip. We'll be riding a couple hundred miles. Pray for us. We'll need it. And in preparation for that, there was an opportunity for us to share a little bit about ourselves to the group we'll be riding with. And the question was, will you tell them you're a priest? And my wife did, as I'm finding out. But initially I said, we'll just let it be. And thankfully, she's more obedient than I. Because I don't know, well, you probably don't know this, but I know Father knows. But if you want to really cut down on the amount of new friends you make, start with, I'm a priest. Shockingly, that doesn't go over well. My wife and I have been to events where I was dressed as a priest, and we could literally, and it's kind of a sport with us, move people around the room. Just by going over and say, hey, how are you doing? They're, oh, no. Then suddenly it's just the two of us, and everybody's over there, so we're like, let's go over there. And people just keep moving around the room. It's very entertaining from our perspective, but the Lord calls me to be his witness in such a way, it just can't be taken off. That's why I tell people, why do you wear the collar? I said, I'm on short leash. And the reality is that's true, and it needs to be true. Why do I tell you this? Because just in the last couple weeks, knowing I would be introduced to a couple of hundred new people, my first instinct was, let's not talk about what I do. So my brother Rick tells me, I got this gift for you. You got to pick it up. You're going to want it on your bike ride. It's a cycling jersey. The Episcopal Church welcomes you. I got this from him this morning. Extemporaneous preaching, not always helpful. I'm convicted by my own sermon before I even give it. Because the Lord's saying, Brian, I made you my priest. Go be my priest. You think you chose to make this trip? Brothers and sisters, I'm getting excited now. You know why? There's a purpose to this trip other than just time away. I'm waiting to see who God puts in front of me, to hear the witness of his grace, his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. As we approach this Easter season, I'm just longing for the opportunity for someone to say, tell me about this Jesus. Because it's all that matters. It is everything to me. If you want to get your priorities in line, if you want to know the presence of God, if you want to be his witness, if you want to know the joy of being free of your sin, your sorrow, and your shame, it is in Christ, amen? And it is in Christ, and it is something that we do constantly, and it is something we do well, and it is something we fail at. But brothers and sisters, as Paul said, beloved, press on for the prize. It's yours.